بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So this is lesson number 16, the 16th lesson in our explanation of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's book Kitab al-Ubudiyyah, with the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullahu ta'ala. And in the previous lesson, we looked at a number of groups who went astray. In fact, we looked at the first group many lessons earlier, who basically used Al-Qadr as an argument to justify their shirk and their innovation into the religion. And obviously they were the polytheists. This is the way of the mushrikun, those whom are described in the Quran. And following in the footsteps of those people are those from the people of the Qibla, those who ascribe to Islam, or those who are from the people of Islam, who also went astray in the same way. They entered things into the religion which are not from it, you know, acts of worship and things like that. And they also used Al-Qadr to justify their non-observance of the obligations, of some of the obligations. And the reason for that was because they had some underlying doctrines, some false doctrines, such as their claim that the real truth is that Allah is one. Allah is everything, and everything is Allah. And that is the real Tawheed. That is the real Tawheed. And once a person understands and grasps this reality, that nothing exists except Allah, then he has arrived at the real truth. And built upon this, there is no such thing as an obligation or a prohibition. So there's no such thing as the halal and the haram, right? And so therefore, a person need not act upon the sharia. And everything that he witnesses taking place, everything that he sees taking place, whether it is good, whether it is evil, whether it is the worship of Allah, whether it is the worship of a cat or a dog, whether it is whatever action it might be, whatever statement it might be, everything performed, then all of it is the action of Allah Himself. And there is only Allah and His, you know, His decree. And so therefore, you know, we do not need to act upon the Sharia, because the Sharia is only for the common people, for the ignorant people, the people who do not have the ability to understand these so-called doctrines, right? So this is the general idea, the general concept. And this was found amongst the extremists, among the Sufis, who came with the ideas of wahdatul wujud, the unity of existence. And they also fell into mistakes with respect to al-qadr. They turned into jabariyya, meaning that, you know, a person has no choice. He is compelled to act, and it is really Allah who is acting, and a person does not have any free will. So these ideas crept into the people of Islam, and they simply followed the same ways of those pagans and polytheists which are mentioned in the Quran, and who fell into a number of things. They innovated into the religion, they altered the religion, and they also tried to use Al-Qadr as an argument. Now, in the previous lesson, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he then went on to mention another group a second group of people, and these people, they never rejected the necessity of acting upon the Sharia, right? Unlike the first group, they said, okay, yes, we act upon the obligations, we keep away from the prohibitions, like the major obligations, the major prohibitions, we do them, but we do not act upon the asbab, right? The ways and the means. Because this now is basically, it entails a rejection of al-qadr. A rejection of al-qadr. So in other words, they are saying that, okay, yes, we will pray and we will fast and we'll keep away from stealing, gambling, cheating, and so on and so forth. But as for achieving things, attaining things, you know, by way of dua, by way of tawakkul, by way of taking the means, then this would entail a rejection of al-qadr. So in other words, the angle they are coming from is that they are wrongly thinking that there is a clash, that there is a contradiction between the qadr of Allah, what Allah decrees, and taking and adopting the means, the asbab. So in other words, we give some examples that with this faulty understanding, a person might say that if I step into a car and I wear the seatbelt, then I'm now rejecting al-qadr. Why? Because I should really just trust in Allah. I should really just have tawakkul upon Allah, and I shouldn't take these means, because these means, these ways and means, these safety measures, they basically mean that I am somehow questioning and denying the qadr of Allah. But this is faulty reasoning. This is incorrect. Because taking the means, the asbab, are part and parcel of the decree of Allah. Allah created His creation by way of, you know, He created causes and He tied them to their effects. And the whole of Allah's creation and His decree, it operates on these factual realities, right? So it's the same whether we speak of the religion, the affairs of the religion. So for example, if you want to feed yourself, you've got to go out and work. And working, making effort, is from the means, is from the asbab. And in a similar way, if you want to enter paradise, if you want your sins to be forgiven, then you have to take the asbab. You perform the obligations, the recommended actions, you keep away from the prohibitions and keep away from the disliked actions. These are all from the asbab. So this group who basically said, yes, we abide by the Sharia, we act upon the Sharia, it is obviously requested from Allah Azza wa Jal, but we do not take any asbab because it clashes with al-qadr. This is also another mistake. It is a mistake. It is obviously lighter than the mistake of the previous people, the previous group that we were speaking of, but this is nevertheless still a mistake. And this also is found amongst the Sufis. So today we begin, we'll continue with where we left off, and we mention, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions here, there's some more orientation, some more groups who basically also have, you know, mistakes. So he says, وَمِنْهُمْ, meaning amongst these people, amongst the Sufis, وَمِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ تَتْرَكُ الْمُسْتَحَبَّاتِ مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ دُونَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ فَتَنْقُصُ بِقَدَرِ ذَلِكَ. So he says, amongst them, meaning amongst these people who generally they made a mistake in the issue of al-qadr and abiding by the Sharia, is a group who they did the obligations and they kept away from the prohibitions, but they did not see any necessity in acting upon those things which are recommended, the mustahab things, those things which are from the mustahabbat, those things for which, you know, which are not obligatory, but you receive a reward for doing them. And as a result of this mistake, they obviously, it means that there is a deficiency in their iman. right? They lose out as it regards to their iman by not abiding by the recommended things, by not doing the recommended things. So this now is a third group, right? And obviously their mistake is slightly less because they may not necessarily deny the asbab, but they neglect something which is from the sharia, which is from the ways and means of the sharia. And so these people, as Sheikh Al-Fawzan comments here, he says this is a deficiency, because وَهَذَا نَقْصٌ, this is a deficiency, because فَالْمُسْتَحَبَّاتِ مَعَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ سَبَبٌ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ. This is because the recommended actions, they along with the obligatory actions are a cause. They are also a means amongst the means that Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated. So this group, their mistake is lighter than the previous two groups. They affirm that the obligations and so on and so forth are from the ways and means, but they neglect the mustahab things. Then there is also a fourth group. There is another group. And this group is a group, as Shaykh al-Islam says, وَمِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ يَغْتَرُّونَ بِمَا يَحْصُلُ لَهُمْ مِنْ خَرْقِ عَادَةٍ مِثْلَ مُكَاشَفَةٍ أَوْ إِسْتِجَابَةِ دَعْوَةٍ مُخَالَفَةٍ لِلْعَادَةِ الْعَامَةِ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. So he says, he describes another group of people. He says, amongst them are a group who become deceived by what happens to them sometimes of something which is something like it is out of the ordinary. It is out of the ordinary. For example, they have a sudden moment of enlightenment where they realize something or they understand something, or a supplication of theirs is answered, right? So they find that they made a dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, and in a kind of a strange, unexpected way, in an unusual way, it becomes answered in kind of unusual circumstances, and it becomes something that, you know, it surprises that person. So there are some people who they rely upon these types of things. They become deceived by these types of things as if it is an indication of some special type of status or some special type of favor. And so what they do is they become preoccupied with these types of things. As Shaykh al-Islam says, فَيَشْتَغِلُ أَحَدُهُمْ أَمَّا أُمِرَ بِهِ مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ وَالشُّكْر وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. So a person, he now starts pursuing these types of things. He becomes preoccupied in these types of things. And this leads him away from actual worship and from actual things which are, you know, which comprise gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so this is, again, is something you find with the Sufis. You find that they are looking for supplications to be answered, some mukashafa, some sudden enlightenment, some sudden, and then they go on, they go to their sheikhs, and you know they seek and pursue these types of things, and this becomes a preoccupation. It becomes a whole preoccupation, and so their iman now starts depending upon miracles and going to people who are known to be pious, to whom miracles occur and to whom strange things occur. And they seek and pursue these kind of mystical, spiritual kind of experiences of sudden enlightenment and, you know, things that happen which are out of the ordinary. And these are things which they take as the basis of their iman and which drive them. All of this is wrong. All of this is a mistake. And they become deceived by, you know, this type of this type of thing. So the Sheikh says, Sheikh al-Islam says that this is something you find often amongst the people of لِأَهْلِ السُّلُوكِ وَالتَّوَجُّحِ, meaning the Sufis. And at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we need to know, how is a person saved from all of this? How is a person saved from all of these things? We've mentioned four categories or four levels of people who have gone astray and who make mistakes in religion. The first of them we mentioned are those who use al-qadr to deny acting upon the sharia. They use al-qadr to justify their sins and disobedience, or even their shirk, even their polytheism and their disbelief. And they say that everything happens by way of Allah's qadr. Allah is pleased with everything that He decrees. Therefore, there's no need for us to act upon the sharia or keep away from prohibited things. If I commit a sin, Allah has decreed it, Allah wanted it, Allah is pleased with it. And so al-qadr is an argument for me against the sharia. Right? So this is the first level. The second level are those who basically, they do act upon the obligations, they keep away from the prohibitions, but they say, as for the asbab, as for the ways and means, taking the ways and means, then this clashes with al-qadr, right? So I don't need to wear my seatbelt in order to be safe. I'll rely upon Allah. I don't need to work. I don't need to work for rizq to come to me. If Allah has written rizq for me, it is going to come to me. So I don't need to work, because if I start working, this now is a rejection, or it clashes with the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? This also is a second type of mistake, a second level. A third level are those people who say, well, I will do the obligations, I will keep away from the prohibitions. As for the mustahab things, then they are kind of superfluous. They're not really necessary. I will leave them. But this is a mistake, because the mustahab deeds, they are also from the asbab. They are also from the means. And they kind of remove the kind of deficiencies that we might have in our obligatory deeds. And so this is one of the benefits of the mustahabbat. We do additional things, we do voluntary things, because in our obligatory duties, there might be some flaws, there might be some deficiencies, there might be mistakes that we might have done. And so the mustahab things, they help to mend those mistakes and deficiencies in the obligations. So they are also from the asbab. We shouldn't look at them as if they are not from the asbab. Then, as there is another category of people, and they leave the, you know, being concerned with the actual obligations and the recommended things, and instead they become preoccupied with all of these things where they are looking for al-kashf wal-mukashafa. They're looking for sudden enlightenment, a sudden spiritual experience, a mystical experience that motivates them in their iman. Or they are looking for, you know, their du'as to be answered in some kind of miraculous, unique kind of way. And so this becomes their preoccupation. They seek these things, and they try to find these things, and you know, all of this is deviating from the Quran and the Sunnah. And so a servant needs to know, how can I be saved from all of this? How am I saved from all of this? What is the way? And so Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, after all of this discussion, he now explains to us the way of safety, the path of safety from all of this, from all of this misguidance, and from falling into the same mistakes as the polytheists, of innovating into the religion and then using al-qadr as an argument, and likewise of those groups from the people of Islam who ascribe to Islam, the people of the Qibla, you know, who also went astray in the same way. And so what is the means of safety? What is the solution? Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, وَإِنَّمَا يَنْجُو الْعَبْدُ مِنْهَا بِمُلَازَمَةِ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي بَعَثَ بِهِ رَسُولَهُ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ. Indeed, the servant is saved from this, from all of these affairs, by adhering, by sticking to the command of Allah, by which He sent His messenger, in every moment, in every time. So in other words, you adhere to Allah's guidance, which the Messenger of Allah, which he brought, by, you know, by sticking to it in every moment, in every time. As he says, كَمَا قَالَ الزُّهْرِ, as Imam al-Zuhri rahimahullah, he said, one of the Imams of the Salaf, كَانَ مَنْ مَضَى مِنْ سَلَفِنَا يَقُولُونَ الْإِعْتِسَامُ بِالسُّنَّةِ نَجَاهُ. He says, those who preceded us, who came before us from our Salaf, from our predecessors, they used to say, الْإِعْتِسَامُ بِالسُّنَّةِ نَجَاهُ. Sticking to the Sunnah is deliverance, is safety. And so Ibn Taymiyyah says, rahimahullah, he explains this statement. He says, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ السُنَّةِ كَمَا قَالَ مَالِكُ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ كَمَا قَالَ مَالِكُ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ. He said, مِثْلُ سَفِينَةِ نُوحٍ مَنْ رَكِبَهَا نَجَى وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا غَرِقَ. So he says, this is because the sunnah is like the ship of Nuh, alayhi salam, is like the ship of Nuh. So whoever rides upon it will be saved, and whoever withholds from it, then he will be drowned. He will be drowned. So in other words, the one who rides upon the sunnah, upon the truth, he will be saved, and the one who abandons it and leaves it, then he will drown in the misguidance which he will fall into as a result. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he comments upon this and he says, al-i'tisamu bi sunnah najah, commenting upon this narration from Az-Zuhri, that sticking to the sunnah is deliverance. He says, meaning that it is from the means, from the asbab of deliverance, of safety, meaning that to oppose those people, to abandon the way of all these groups that we've mentioned, and to make tamassuk, to hold fast to the sunnah. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسِيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلِيكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ الرَّاشِدِينَ تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَعَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. So he says, for indeed whoever amongst you lives for long after me, then he will see many controversies. So upon him, upon you is to adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. Hold fast to it and bite onto it with the molars. So here in this advice of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whenever trials and tribulations appear, then there is no safety for anyone except by sticking to the sunnah. This is from the greatest of the asbab, the ways and means which are from what Allah has legislated, which the Prophet ﷺ has commanded. And it is a tremendous mistake for a person to say that if Allah has written for me guidance, then I will be guided. And if Allah has written for me misguidance, then I will be misguided. Right? And then he leaves the affair. He does not bother sticking to the sunnah, and he leaves the affair. This is a tremendous mistake in relation to the Sharia. Just as in the worldly affairs, it is exactly the same if this person says, if Allah has decreed for me, for my thirst to disappear, and for my hunger to be removed, then it will happen. I don't need to take a drink of water. I don't need to consume food to eat. Right, if Allah has decreed it. This is completely wrong, and this is foolishness, because Allah has only decreed your thirst to be removed by drinking water, and he has only decreed in his creation that if you are hungry, that it is food, consumption of food, that removes your hunger. So in the same way, guidance has its ways and means, has its asbab, and from those asbab is adhering to the sunnah. Therefore, for a person to be guided, he must seek guidance, he must seek adherence to the sunnah. And for this reason, as the Shaykh says, the leading scholars, they said, as-sunnah mithlu safinati nuhin man rakibaha naja wa man takhallafa anha ghariq. That the sunnah is like the ship of Nuh. Whoever traverses upon it will be saved, and whoever abandons it, then he will drown. And so this is because, as the Shaykh explains, when the flood came, and the water of the earth spread everywhere, and even reached the peak of mountains, then no one was saved except those who were upon the ship of Nuh alayhi salam, and everyone else was drowned. And amongst them was the people, or was the offspring, amongst those who drowned was the son of Nuh, the son of Nuh alayhi salam. And so Nuh alayhi salam, he said, Ya Bunayya, irkam ma'ana, wala takum ma'al kafirin. O my son, come and ride on the ship with us, and do not be with the disbelievers. And his son's response was, Sa'awi ila jabalin ya'simuni min al-ma. He said, I will seek refuge in a mountain that will save me from the water. But he said, قَالَ لَا عَاسِمَ الْيَوْمِ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمْ وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَا الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. So Nuh al-Islam, he responded, there is no one to protect you on this day from the command of Allah, except the one to whom Allah shows mercy. And so the wave, came and overtook them and came in between them. And so he was from amongst those who drowned. So the son of Nuh, alayhi salam, he drowned along with the disbelievers. And what was the reason? The reason was because he abandoned the sabab. He abandoned the means, the cause, which Allah Azza wa Jal had commanded his prophet Nuh, alayhi salam, to act upon and to adopt. And this was to create and to build the ship and to ride upon the ship. So this was from the asbab that Allah Azza wa Jal had commanded his prophet Nuh alayhi salam. So we can see from the way of the prophets themselves that they would act upon the asbab. They would abide by the asbab, the ways and means, because they are from the legislated means. But the son of Nuh alayhi salam, the one who is ignorant, he abandoned the sabab, he abandoned the means, and as a result, he drowned along with the disbelievers. And so in the same way as this parable, as this story in the Quran, is the sunnah. The sunnah is like the ship of Nuh alayhi salam. Whoever abandons it in the time of tribulations, in the time of fitan, when there are fitan, trials and tribulations, splitting and differing, and confusion and chaos, then whoever abandons the sunnah, then he will perish along with the people of misguidance. So in other words, this is a very good similitude given by some of the Salaf when they said that sticking to the Sunnah is like the ship of Nuh alayhi salam. And so this is because when the trials and the tribulations come, they are like the flood of Nuh alayhi salam. It is like the flood in the time of Nuh alayhi salam, because it will drown everybody who does not abide by the Sunnah. That person will be caught up in the trials and tribulations. So no one will be saved. وَلَا يُنْجِي مِنْهَا Nothing will save you from it. إِلَّا التَّمَسُّكْ بِالسُنَّةِ Except abiding by the sunnah. And However, at the same time, a person will not be saved until he knows what the actual sunnah is. So in order to abide by the sunnah and act upon the sunnah, you have to first know what is the sunnah. So as the Shaykh says, وَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَن تَتَمَسَّكَ بِالسُنَّةِ إِلَّا إِذَا عَرَفْتَهَا. It is not possible for you to adhere to the sunnah except by knowing it. So he says, فَمَا كُلُّ مَنِ ادَّعَى أَنَّهُ مُتَمَسِّكٌ بِالسُنَّةِ وَأَنَّهُ سَلَفِي يَكُونُ كَذَلِكَ. The Shaykh says, not everybody who makes a claim of sticking to the sunnah and that he is a Salafi, is he like that? Meaning not everyone is like that who simply claims that I am upon the sunnah and I am a Salafi. Rather, you have to have actual knowledge. You have to have actual study of the sunnah. And you have to have some grounding in it. And you have to understand it until you understand it in the proper way. As the Shaykh says, he says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْسَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. He says, those who are foremost in the religion, speaking here about the Muhajireen, and then the Ansar, and then those who follow them upon Ihsan. Upon Ihsan. This word is mentioned in this ayah. It is a condition that those who follow the Sahaba, the Muhajireen and the Ansar, upon Ihsan. It has to be upon Ihsan. What does this mean? The Shaykh says, بِمَعْنَى, with the meaning, أَنَّكَ تَعْرِفْ مَنْهَجَهُمْ وَمَذْهَبَهُمْ وَتَتَمَسَّكَ بِهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. This means that you have to actually know their methodology. You have to know their madhab, their way. And you have to stick to it upon basira, upon insight, upon knowledge. And then the Shaykh goes on to say, because there are many people, لِأَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِمَّنْ يُدَلِّلُونَ النَّاسِ. Many of those who lead other people astray, they say, this is the manhaj of the Salaf, and this is what the Salaf were upon, and this is what the Salaf did, and this is what... And all of this is not correct, right? He's saying these things and making these claims upon other than knowledge, right? He doesn't truly know what the manhaj of the Salaf is. And so all of this is correct, and so he perishes himself whilst thinking that he is upon the manhaj of the Salaf. And all of this is because he does not truly know the manhaj of the Salaf. He has not studied it in the right way. He's just read a few things and come across a few things, and he hasn't really truly understood it in the same way. He's relied upon his own understanding. And he did not refer things back to the people of knowledge and ask them about those things which were confusing to him. And so, you know, he wrongly thinks as if he's understood, whereas he has not understood. And he thinks that he's a scholar when he's not a scholar. And so in this way, he goes astray, thinking he's upon the way of the Salaf when he is not. Even though he might be desirous of the way of the Salaf, he might want to follow the way of the Salaf, but because he did not gain a good, firm understanding, right, then he goes astray. So the point that the Shaykh is making here is that not everybody who says, I am upon the way of the Salaf, I call to the way of the Salaf, the way of the Salaf is this, the way of the Salaf is that, not everybody who comes out and makes this type of claim, it is not the case that he's actually upon that. Because this is something that requires understanding. And it requires basira, it requires insight, and it requires actual knowledge of what the Salaf were actually upon. So, from all of this, this now is the way that we are saved and delivered from the trials and tribulations of the people of misguidance who went astray in the various ways that Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has mentioned already. And in particular, he mentioned two groups. First of all, the Sufis, who made mistakes in the topic of Al-Qadr, in the divine decree, and likewise in terms of innovations into the religion, and likewise the people of Kalam, the people of Ilmul Kalam, who relied upon their opinions and their intellects, and they followed their desires, right? This is a solution to prevent yourself from being misguided and going astray in the same way as those people. Those people went astray because they followed their hawa, their desires. And hawa, as we mentioned in some of the previous lessons, is something where you follow your inclinations, you follow your tastes, you follow those things which make you feel good, as is the way of the Sufis. You know, they have al-dhawq and al-wajd, right? These are things that do to do with their inclinations and feelings and things that make them feel good and experience, you know, like a spiritual feeling and a mystical, a mystical experience that makes them feel, have this feeling of, this pleasurable feeling, and this, it's all feelings, right? And likewise with the people of Kalam, they have opinions and they have their intellect which they rely upon, and this makes them feel as if this is, that this is the route to guidance. And in all of this, they oppose the Quran and the Sunnah. So all of this collectively, whether you follow your opinions and intellects in opposition to the Sunnah, or, you know, in matters of creed, or whether you follow your tastes and your desires as it relates to matters of worship and things you innovate into the affairs of worship, as is done by the Sufis, all of that together comes under the umbrella of al-hawa, of following desire. And so that's why Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentioned, as we saw in the previous lessons, all of those verses in the Quran that relate to following of desires, right? That we do not follow desires. And this is what he commanded the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, ثم جعلناك على شريعة من الأمر فاتبعها ولا تتبع أهواء الذين لا يعلمون. So then we made you upon a sharia with respect to the affair. So follow it and do not follow the desires of those who do not have knowledge. So this is what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with respect to the Jews, and with respect to the Christians, and with respect to the pagans and polytheists, because all of these nations had gone astray in exactly the same way. They altered the religion of Allah, they altered the rulings, they entered affairs of worship, as was done by the Christians. They, they made arguments by way of al-qadr to justify their disobedience. They entered doctrines into the creed, like rejection of al-qadr, as was done by some of the Christians, and likewise in respect to Allah's attributes and names, as was done by the Yahud and other than them, right? So this was said by the Messenger. Allah ordered the Messenger of Allah Sallam to follow the Sharia and to oppose the desires of all of those nations who went astray. So in exactly the same way, the people of the Sunnah, who abide by the Sunnah, then they are effectively saying the same thing to these groups and these sects who have appeared, like the Sufis, like the Mu'tazila, like the people of Kalam, because they are following the footsteps of those previous nations when they innovate into the religion, affairs of worship, when they innovate into the religion, affairs of creed, when they use al-qadr as an argument for their sins and disobedience, as is done by the Jabariyya and amongst the extremists among the Sufis, when they justify abandoning the asbab, the ways and means which are from al-qadr, they abandon them claiming that it clashes with al-qadr. All of these are from the people of the desires. They are following hawa, whether it is opinion and intellect to do with the mind, and thought and reflection, and the use of the intellect, whether it is to do with that, or whether it is to do with feelings and emotions and tastes and desires, as is the way of the Sufis. All of this comes under the label of al-hawa, of desire, because it clashes with the Quran and the Sunnah. It clashes with revelation. And so therefore, what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is pointing out here at this important point, at this important junction in the book, is that the way to be saved from all of this misguidance is to make tamassuk of the Sunnah, to be saved by adhering to the Sunnah. And so this parable here of the Sunnah being the ship of Nuh alayhi salam, this is an excellent parable, because tribulations, when they come, then you can only be saved by sticking to the Sunnah, and that person will be saved, whereas the person who abandons the Sunnah, he will be drowned. So after mentioning this sabab, this path of safety from trials and tribulations, which is sticking to the Sunnah, then Shaykh al-Islam also goes on to explain and mention the issue of ibadah itself, and obedience itself, and al-istiqamah, which is remaining steadfast, and holding fast to the straight path. These are all words which are similar in meaning. So he says after this, وَالْعِبَادَةُ وَالطَّاعَةُ وَالْإِسْتِقَامَةُ وَلُزُومُ الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ وَنَهُوَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ مَقْصُودُهَا وَاحِدٌ. He says all of these words, when we speak of, for example, when we mention sticking to the Sunnah, sticking to the truth, and then you have all of these Sharia words, these legislated words, such as al-ibadah, which is worship, al-ta'a, which is obedience, al-istiqama, which is being upright and steadfast, and luzumu sirat al-mustaqim, and sticking to the straight path. All of these names and labels, what is intended by them is the same thing. It's the one and the same thing. And what is intended by that is that you follow the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we can simplify all of that in two simple principles. Two simple principles. And so he mentions what they are. وَلَهَا أَصْلًا أَحَدُهُمَا أَلَّا يُعْبَدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So there are two foundations. First of all, that Allah is, that there's none worshipped except Allah. None is worshipped except Allah. وَالثَّانِي, and the second, أَنْ يُعْبَدَ بِمَا أَمَرَ وَشَّرَعَ لَا بِغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْبِدَعِ. And the second foundation is that he is worshipped with whatever he commanded and whatever he legislated, not by other things besides them, which are from the innovations. So in other words, the path of safety, the path of deliverance, sticking to the Sunnah and having istiqamah and sticking to the straight path, all of these are similar words and similar labels, and they all point to the one and the same thing, which is that if we want to be saved, then we can summarize the means of safety, the path of safety, by two fundamental foundational principles that we adhere to. The first of them is that we do not worship except Allah alone. Nothing is worshipped except Allah alone. And secondly, that we do not worship him except by way of whatever he legislated and he commanded, not by way of any innovations. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, he explains and comments upon this, and he says that there are two principles which, if we act upon them and we actualize them, then your goal and your desire, which is to be saved and to be steadfast, then it will be achieved. The first of them is al-ikhlas, al-ikhlasu lillahi azza wa jal fil qasdi wa niyya. The first of them is to be sincere to Allah azza wa jal in your qasd, you know, in what you seek and what you desire, and in your niyya, in your intention, Right? So you worship Allah alone, you direct all of the affairs of worship only to Allah, and then in that worship you are also sincere. You are doing it only to please Allah, not for any other reason or purpose. Right? So this is the first foundation, al-ikhlasu lillah. And the second foundation is al-mutaba'ah lir-rasuli sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That you follow the way, the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so this is clearly outlined in the Quran. These two foundations, there are many verses in the Quran from which these two foundations have been derived. And from them is a verse that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions here, بَلَى مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So here in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, rather, the one who submits his face to Allah whilst he does good, then he will have his reward with his Lord, and there will be no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. So in this ayah, when Allah Azza wa Jal, when He says, أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ, the one who submits his face to Allah, this means the one who is sincere, the one who acts sincerely for the sake of Allah, and who purifies his worship from shirk, right? So this now is tawheed and sincerity. أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ. And then he said, وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ, and he is one who does good, meaning that he is one who does righteous deeds following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in this ayah, there are the two conditions that we have mentioned, the two foundations, that none is worshipped except Allah, and Allah is not worshipped except by way of what He has legislated. And so similarly, we see in another verse of the Quran, the same two foundations in which Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And who is better in religion than the one who submits his face to Allah, and he is a doer of good, and who follows the religion of Ibrahim, who was the religion of Ibrahim, you know, who is Hanif, who is upright. And Allah took Ibrahim as his friend, as his Khalil. So here Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned the asbab, the correct sound asbab, the legitimate asbab, which if we follow, then we will be guided, that we will receive deliverance. For this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. Beware of the newly innovated affairs, because in every newly invented affair is in fact an innovation. And likewise, the second foundation, that we only worship Allah by what He commanded and what He legislated, then this is also found, the evidence for this is found in the texts. So for example, the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever did an action which is not upon our affair, then this will be rejected, from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. And likewise he said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ الرَّاشِدِينَ. So upon you is my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. And he continued, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And in a narration, وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. So beware of the newly invented affairs, for every newly invented affair is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance, and in one narration, every misguidance is in the hellfire. So, the point being that the way to safety is to abide by the Sunnah, and any person who does not respond to this, then he is following his desires. As the Messenger of Allah, he said to his, as the Messenger of Allah was informed by his Lord, by Allah the Most High, فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. If they do not respond to you, then know that they are following their desires. So there is no guidance except by responding to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَلَيْسَ هُنَاكَ هِدَايَةٌ إِلَّا بِالْإِسْتِجَابَةِ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam وَالتَّمَسُّكْ بِسُنَّتِهِ. There is no guidance except by responding to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in what he called to, in what he commanded, and by adhering to his sunnah. And this cannot be done except when a person actually learns the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he understands it, and he becomes precise in it, and then after that he will hold on to it upon basira. But as for when, as the Shaykh says, he does not know the sunnah, and he's upon bid'ah, and he does not really truly fathom the sunnah, yet he thinks it is the sunnah, then just because he found some people acting upon it, and he followed them, and you know, all of this is upon jahl, all of this is upon other than study, and then he will be ignorant, and he will fall into many types of misguidance, and he will not be able to distinguish between the sunnah and the bid'ah. So the way a person distinguishes between the sunnah and bid'ah is to truly study the sunnah, and to acquire knowledge, and to acquire knowledge upon the correct understanding. And this is how he is saved from the tribulations, you know, from the trials, and from all the various tribulations. So we will finish, inshallah, at this point, our lesson there today. And so in today's lesson, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he basically mentioned some more groups who went astray in the issue of the asbab, the ways and means, and you know, connected to the issue of al-qadr, and all of them are from the factions of the Sufis. And before them we spoke about the Mu'tazila from the people of Kalam, how they went astray by following their desires in the same way that the people of the book and the polytheists, that they followed their desires in the way that they altered their religion, innovated in their religion, and they also went astray in the issue of al-qadr. And so the way of safety from all of that is simply to follow the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to understand it, to study it, to stick, to hold fast to it. And so ultimately this returns back to two foundational principles, that we worship none but Allah, and that we do not worship him except by what he legislated and what he commanded. And these two foundations are clear in many verses of the Quran. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned some of these verses, and in the next lesson we'll continue to mention some more of these verses, as well as, you know, progress further into this treatise of al-Ubudiyyah of Shaykh al-Islam. And so we'll bring our lesson to a close here today, and we'll continue next week, inshallah ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.